Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 30. In verse 12, the Word of God says, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous." Thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. An unfortunate number of people live with this as their reality. Their bruise is incurable, and their wound is grievous. How many people go through their entire life being bruised, being wounded? They become bitter. And their entire life is shaped by things that may have taken place decades before, 30, 40, 50 years, and they still relate to things maybe as when they were 10-year-olds. And that same 10-year-old thought comes when they reflect back on something. And they'll say, "This is incapacitating me. This is plaguing me. I can't get victory over this." All too often it happens in Christianity that people live with these deep wounds, these bruises. Their soul is bruised. It's wounded. And they're looking for a solution, they're looking for a cure, they're looking for a way to overcome this. Now, they're making a simple mistake in their approach to it, and that mistake is brought right here. The bruise is not curable, and the wound is grievous. There is no cure. The sooner that we stop looking for a cure for certain things, and I'm not talking about medical needs, please don't misunderstand this. The sooner that we stop looking for a cure to our wounds and our bruises, the sooner we'll have release from those wounds and bruises. A great deal of angst comes into Christians' lives because they are looking for cures. A great many mood disorders, insecurities, frustrations, anxieties, anger issues, self-image issues, all kinds of things. Looking for love from places, looking for significance, looking for acceptance. All these different types and many more of issues that are in some Christians' lives will never be resolved. You will not find a cure. You will not find a cure. And this is not a negative thing. This is a positive thing. Because the longer you look for a cure, the longer you will be in bondage to your situation. Some situations, some wounds, some bruises have no cure. Some wounds are grievous. In Nahum 3:19, the Word of God says, "There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous." You have this wounded spirit, a wounded soul. "Such and such did this to me. This circumstance crushed me. My hopes have been destroyed. My trust has been eliminated. All that I stood on has been shaken." There is no healing for you. And people will hear something like that and they say, "How can you say that?" And they will almost be aghast at the notion. But it's true. The Bible says it. There is no healing for your bruise. Your wound is grievous. In Isaiah 1:6, the Word of God tells us that from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness. It's all wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Self-help, modern psychology, is all about fixing what cannot be fixed. Psychologists all too often try to resuscitate dead men. By that I'm saying, my problem is in the fact that I'm dead in trespasses and sins, at least in my experience, if not in my position. And a psychologist will often try to make me better in being dead in my trespasses and sins. They try to clean up my Adamic nature. And in trying to clean up my Adamic nature, they are saying, resolve your issues that stem from Adam by making your Adamic nature this way. And they try to clean them up and pretty them up. But the fact of the matter is that the Adamic nature is still the Adamic nature. Your wounds and your bruises come from one very simple place. Your insecurities, your mood disorders, your anger issues, your frustrations, your anxieties, your bad self-image. All of that whole package of problems have the exact same source. Your deep wounds, your resentments, your hurts, your roots of bitterness have the same one source. You're not going to like it, perhaps, but it is reality. You're self-oriented. There's your problem. Your problem is not what somebody did to you. Your problem is not your circumstance. Your problem is not what it is that so-called crushed your dreams. Your problem is you're self-oriented. And this may not sound kind, but believe me, by the end of this, this will be edifying to you. When the surgeon says to you, you have cancer, you don't say to the surgeon, that was very unkind of you to say. Yet people respond that way when conviction comes their way. Say, I know you're talking about me. How can you say such a thing? I'm very angry. I'm not accepting this from you. And don't accept it from me. I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says. If I didn't give you chapter and verse, then you can go ahead and be angry with me. But since I'm giving you a chapter and verse, you may want to take this up with the one who wrote it. And you know what he'll tell you? Get over it. Your problem is you're self-oriented. Wounds and bruises come from self-orientation. I've heard people argue that point. They don't like it. But wounds and bruises come from self-orientation. If you're offended, it's because you're proud. I heard one person one time said, being offended does not mean you're prideful. Oh, but it does. It does mean you're prideful, because the reason you are offended is because you are self-oriented, and self-orientation is the manifestation of pride. Your pride has brought you to self-orientation, pride being that you are the center of your universe. Now, you may say that you're not because you try to be self-effacing, but self-effacement is simply another form of self-orientation. Forget the self-orientations, doing you no favors. Your issues with your moods, your issues with your insecurities, your issues with your self-image, they're all a matter of self-orientation. The best psychologist would tell you, you're self-oriented, get out of it. However, a secular psychologist would have no means by which to tell you to get out of it. And so he would leave you with a void that would leave you even more self-oriented. But this is where our incurable problems come from. There is no cure for self-orientation. There is a solution, but there is no cure. If I'm so deeply wounded, if I'm so affected by what happened to me when I was 13 years old, it doesn't really matter the nature, and I'm not downplaying the nature of what happens to people. Some of those things can be quite terrible. But nevertheless, I'm no longer 13 years old. Maybe I'm 63 years old. Remembering 50 years back, a half a century, this happened to me, and I'm still paralyzed by it. You're still paralyzed by it. Because you're identifying with it the way that you did when you were 13. You're too sentimental toward your self-orientation. and it's holding you in great bondage. Incurable wounds are the bondage of self-orientation. Please understand this. Incurable wounds are the bondage of self-orientation. And so long as a person is self-oriented, they are going to live in their wounds and their bruises. The problem is not what took place. The problem is not the person or people. The problem is not the health, the money, or any other thing. The problem is self-orientation. However, there is a way to resolve an incurable wound. It won't heal. You have to understand that first. It will not heal. The deep pain that you feel, it will not heal. It will not go away so long as it is unresolved. Resolving it is not the same as healing it. Healing it means you make it better. Somehow the hurt of it stops. Somehow the angst or the regret or the sorrow or the rejection, whatever it is that sense is, somehow it will go away, you think, and I will be healed. That's not going to happen. It will not go away. There is a way to resolve it, but healing is not your solution. How do you heal a dead man? How do you heal a dead man? For that matter, how do you wound one? How do you offend someone who is dead? How is someone who is dead going to be angry, frustrated, insecure, have a bad self-image? What are you going to say? I feel so bad about myself, I'm dead? How do you bring a dead person low? He's dead. How do you do anything? How do you make a dead person feel better? But yet, this is what people are looking for. They'll come for counseling, they hope for healing of their emotions, they hope for healing of their situation, their past. It's not going to be healed. There is no healing. It doesn't exist. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint in Isaiah 1:5 in the B part. Jeremiah 8:22 says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And the answer is, it cannot be recovered. Because the problem is not the situation. Understand something. If you're struggling with something, if you have a situation where something is hurting you, something is causing you grief, somebody did something took place, and now you are deeply hurt and deeply troubled and you can't get over it. The problem is not in what took place. What took place is a convenient excuse that Satan uses to hold you in bondage to whatever it is. Look for healing, not for resolution, Satan says. God says, I'll give you resolution. I'm not going to give you healing. Not of that sort. But I will give you resolution. How do you resolve an incurable wound? It starts with this. We first have to identify that the incurable wound exists. If the incurable wound is the result of sin, perhaps I did something and it has wounded me, I have sinned, and now I sense I have this need for healing because of what I did myself. Or perhaps the incurable wound can be caused by something someone else did against you. And you can live for decades lamenting and being damaged by what somebody has done against you. The solution to those two things is exactly the same. In 1 Peter 2:24, the Word of God says that Christ in His own self bare our sins on His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. By whose stripes we are healed. Now, it doesn't matter if I caused it or somebody did it to me. It makes absolutely no difference. It works like this. I was on the tree with my Savior in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. I was on the cross with my Savior. And on that cross, I died with my Savior. And as I was dying with my Savior, now being in 1 Corinthians 12:27, a part of His body, I was cleansed from all sins that touched me. I wasn't cleansed just from my own sins. I was cleansed from other people's sins as well. And they were cleansed also. When we apply the blood of Christ, we apply it corporately. We apply it to ourselves and we apply it to other people. I apply the blood in my dealings with people. The blood is not just for me. My conscience is cleansed from my own sins. But I'm also cleansed from the consciousness of your sins, because your sins have also been removed by the blood as well as mine. When the blood of Christ takes away all sins in Revelation 1:5, it didn't say whose sins, it said all sins. And so when somebody did something perhaps to me when I was younger, and I'm not talking necessarily about something abusive. That can be included. But anything, something hurtful. How many people lament what somebody said to them when they were 7 years old? When I was 7 years old, my teacher said this. And they're 52 years old. Thinking back to when I was 7 years old, my teacher told me this, and I'm so scarred. You're scarred because you're not living in reality. What your teacher said to you may have been hurtful to your emotions, but it had nothing to do with reality. Your teacher's effect on you has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb if your teacher did something so scarring. And the blood of the Lamb removes that from you. What somebody does to you cannot affect who you are. Your own thinking can be affected only if you accept the deception. And then your perceptions are changed according to something other than truth. But God said it's the truth that sets you free. So if you're not being set free, then we know that your problem is that your perceptions are not according to truth. And the only way that your perceptions will not be according to truth is if you are self-oriented. Because there are only two types of orientation. There's self-orientation and God orientation, and God orientation will lead you to the truth. And so if your perceptions are not according to truth, and I mean truth, I don't mean fact. I mean truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17:17, His Word is truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. If your thinking is according to truth, your thinking will set you free. But when I am in self-orientation, my thinking is never in truth, and therefore I am never set free. Thereby, my wound is grievous, and my bruise cannot be cured. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all and everyone's sins. Forgiveness is merely the acceptance of the work of the blood of Christ for me and for everybody else. Forgiveness is the acceptance of the work of the blood of Christ. If the blood of Christ has removed somebody's sins, the sins they have done against me, what is there to really worry about regarding them? Because it's been removed. Truth will set me free. Truth will say to me, this has been removed. This deception has no impact on you other than the impact that you assign it. You see, here's the thing about self-orientation. It will take things that have no substance and will give them the illusion of substance so that I receive the deception and accept it. And in this, I become deeply wounded. And I cannot ever be cured. I can have it resolved, but there is no cure for something like that. Part of the reason why there is no cure is because in the standpoint of reality, there is no wound either. The wound is only in my perception. And your perceptions will not be healed so long as you are self-oriented. The blood of Christ removes all sins. It cleanses my conscience. By saying it cleanses my conscience, I'm also saying it cleanses my consciousness. If you have done something against me and I think to myself, the blood of Christ has removed all sins, then you have done nothing against me. No one has wounded you. Only your perceptions that have accepted a deception give you the thought of a wound. But it's not real. In a way, it's like phantom pain. These amputees who can feel pain in their amputated limbs. The pain is not actually there. It's the perception that takes place in their brain as it's looking for an interpretation of neural impulses. And it translates it as pain. They can feel limbs that are not present. Because your brain is doing the translating. The perception is false. The pain is deeply felt, but it's not actually there. You need to treat it. The doctors will try to help you, but medicine doesn't resolve it because it's not actually there. Perceived pains that we have as Christians from circumstances or people are not actually there. And so all the things that we do to resolve these perceived pains do not resolve them. They do not heal them. They do not cure me because they're not actually there. So by trying to deal with my circumstances or my endemic nature or trying to, let's talk it out so that we can come to an Understanding of what? I want you to know how much you've hurt me. I want you to know how deceived you are. Because until you realize that you're living in deception, there is no helping you. It's all in your perceptions. Sometimes hear people say stuff like that. I want them to know how much they hurt me. I want them to know how hard this was for me. To what avail? Will it change your circumstances? Will it alter the history? To what avail? It'll make me feel better. No, it won't. That's a deception also. Your perceptions will not be changed. They need to be resolved. But they can't change. Your pain is going to endure. Your wound, your struggle, you're not going to stop wrestling with it ever. Because you haven't addressed the problem. The blood of Christ cleansed me from all sins by everybody, including mine, including everyone else's. The blood of Christ removes sin. We say, I believe it, but you know, we don't. We don't believe it. Because if we believed it, we wouldn't hold on to it. The blood of Christ is the starting point for resolution. In Psalm 107:20, the Word of God says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. After I apply the blood of Christ, I need the Word of God to build substance. The blood has to come first. Because without the application of the blood, all too often a person will not have capacity. They're still going to be bogged down from what they think took place. And so they will not have capacity. But once I apply the blood of Christ, I turn to the Word of God and it heals me. How does the Word of God heal me? By the renewing of the spirit of my mind. That's renewed by mixing faith with the Word of God that I receive in Hebrews 4:3. When I mix faith with the Word of God, and that's literally saying that when my trust and the Word of God are joined into one entity, then the Word of God starts to give me a brand new perception. In having a new perception, the old perceptions within which I was wounded are removed, and a new perception that comes from the mind of Christ replaces that old perception. When that new perception comes in, I have no wound in the mind of God. Reality becomes my foundation. Things that have taken place do not exist. They were simply thoughts and nothing more. And people say, I remember they took place. Don't deny that they took place. Nobody's denying what is real. I'm just saying, don't hold on to things that are not. If God does not remember certain things in Hebrews 8:12, then what is it that I'm remembering? Do I know more than God? You see, we have to line up with the truth in the Word of God, not the fact of my experience. Facts, scientists have told us, mind-bogglingly enough, are malleable. The past can be removed from the present. It's like that book, Creation Relativity, talks about. The past can be removed from the present. My solution for the past is God's Word in the present, and it deals with my past. God sent His Word and healed them as His Word became the foundation of their perceptions, and their perceptions were altered. Now, instead of having a self-oriented perception, they live in God-oriented truth. And their own perceptions are lined up to reality. And in reality, there is no wound. There is no spot or blemish. There is no corruption. There is no past. There's only the eternal is, where the Word of God is the foundation. Once I get the Word of God in my own perceptions, I have to continue in Proverbs 3:7. The Word of God says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones." Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't ever go back to the place of self-oriented thinking. Don't ever go back to the place of thinking that originates with you. Don't be wise in your own perceptions. Depart from evil. Depart from Satan's influences in your life, even if they seem religious. Remember, Satan uses, in Psalm 94:20, the law to work mischief. The strength of sin is in the law. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Depart from the influences of the enemy. You depart from them as you are not wise in your own perceptions. If you are wise in your own perceptions, you are under the influences of the enemy. Because it's the enemy who's convinced you that there is wisdom to be found in your own perceptions, just like he convinced Adam and Eve. Evil is when I live under the influence of Satan's governing principles. When Satan manages to influence me, I become demonized. Demonized does not mean demonically possessed. It means demonically influenced. A Christian can never be demonically possessed, but a Christian can certainly be demonically influenced. The number one means by which Christians do become demonically influenced is self-orientation. He causes them to be oriented to self. He surprises them sometimes with the things that happen, things that are unexpected from people who you would not expect it from. Tiredness. He wears them down physically, mentally, constantly having to be in challenging circumstances. God allows those things to sharpen us. But Satan tries to use those things to bring us down, to dull us, to wear us down. Self-orientation will determine whether I am worn down or whether I am sharpened. If I am self-oriented, I will become worn down. If I am God-oriented, I will become sharpened. God orientation takes place through the Word of God. Not being wise in my own perceptions. Because I'm not wise in my own perceptions, I turn to the perceptions of God's Word to become the foundation of my perceptions, and in that I depart from evil. The result is good health in my mind, good health in my emotions, and that often translates to good health in my body. Remember something. In Matthew 16:25, whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever tries to preserve self and self-orientation, natural thinking, natural way of doing things, natural solutions, whoever tries to preserve those things that preserve self will lose his life. How will he lose his life? That person will be wounded and bruised to death. Because those wounds and those bruises have no cure. And so long as I am self-oriented, I will be offended, I will be insecure, I will be frustrated, I will be angry, I will live in mood disorders, I will live in anxiety, I will live in fear, I'll be disturbed, I'll be unsettled, and I will live in the experience of Adam's death. God doesn't want to give me Adam's death. God wants me to have Christ's life in John 10:10 and Galatians 2:20. God wants us to have that quality of life that is completely freed from the death of self. No disturbances, no mood disorders, no anger, no frustration, no insecurity, no bad self-image, no anxiety. None of these things that hold us in bondage. But the way I have to come to it is I gotta live in God orientation and forsake self orientation. When Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me," it started with stop being self oriented. If you want to be free, if you want to have that wound and that anxiety and that grief, the hurt, to go away, stop being self-oriented. Turn to the blood. Utilize it in your thinking, in the way that you relate to people. Have the Word of God as your foundation. And don't be wise in your own perceptions. Be filled with God's perceptions. And then your wounds will be resolved. But not until then. Amen.